Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
If you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles in Luke chapter 9, and today we are only going to be really focusing on one verse. We will read just the two verses, 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24. It's a very well-known passage. But I really believe that the Lord has something to say to us this morning. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Oh Lord, this is such a known passage, and we all have heard of it. We all know it, maybe by heart. But I pray that you would truly remind us of this call to follow you. Would you speak to us, Lord? I pray that you will carry your message by your Spirit and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to just watch a 14 seconds video quickly. Thank you. VIP. Let's kick it. All right, thank you. So the younger generation will know who that is. So his name is Kavi Lame. He's a guy that was born in Senegal, and he has become a millionaire. I mean, expected to do 10 million, expected to receive $10 million this year. And he has 80 million followers on Instagram. And he is what this new job, influencer. And lots of people are, especially the younger generation, going into that, leaving, making videos like that, that was just mocking other people, and he would do this, and out of that, he became a millionaire. And it's a trending thing where more and more people want followers. Most videos that you watch this day will say, pause, subscribe, and follow. And there is this notion of following other people. And you can scroll in your phone and see influencer after influencer and people following other people. I was looking at the South African list in South Africa, who are the most, you know, influencers. I didn't recognize most of those names. Only AB de Villiers, I think he has about 20 million followers. But this is people trying to get followers, and this notion of following, we know what it is about. But when we say, "I follow Jesus," do we really know what it takes to do that? And Jesus actually sets up, what does it mean to follow him? And that's what we will talk about this morning. The context of this text in the Gospels are Peter has just confessed that Jesus is the Christ. So if you look in Matthew and in Mark, you know, Jesus is talking to his disciples and it's like, who do people say I am? And Jesus and Peter eventually goes on to confess, you are the Christ. And there is that great confession, and Jesus even says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But then, a couple of verses later, when Jesus starts foretelling of his death and his resurrection and what is going to happen to him, guess what? Peter opened his big mouth again and starts rebuking Jesus. And no, don't do that. And Jesus goes and looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. And after that confrontation, as it were, this follows. And in other gospels as well, it points out that it's not just the disciple who Jesus is talking about, but actually he goes on to talk to the disciples and the crowds. And you can see from even the beginning of the verse, and he said to all. So he's not only addressing his disciples. But the first point I want to say in terms of what it takes to follow Jesus, it takes following. This saying of Jesus, this form, that if anyone wants to come after him, let him deny himself, appears at least four times in the different gospels. And in Mark's version, Jesus is not only saying to his disciples, but the crowds as well. But he's saying the call to follow Jesus here is opening to everyone. He's saying to the crowd, and so the call to follow Jesus is universal. If anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to follow Jesus. So he's just proclaiming it. He's sharing that with all the crowds, with everyone, not just with his disciples. But the first thing I want to point out that is obvious, but nonetheless is very important, is that following Jesus, in its very basic essence, means following Jesus. Follow means that you are after someone. You cannot follow if you are ahead. Jesus is saying, if anyone wants to come after me, to follow Jesus means that Jesus is ahead and you are behind. That he is the leader. You follow his footsteps. We do not determine the path. We follow. He determines the path. We follow. Levi has learned this little song in his school. Follow the leader, follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. So last year we went for holiday, and we went to the beach, and there was a little way to go to the beach. And so he would ask me, Daddy, can I be the leader? And so like, okay, Levi, you can be the leader. And so we will have to go after Levi. And the times that I will like come either parallel next to him or go ahead or something, like, Daddy, I'm the leader. He understood exactly what being the leader meant. That meant that he was in front and all the rest needs to be behind him. It's a very basic principle, right? But the point is, in our walk with Jesus, are you actually following or are you determining your own journey? Are you the leader or the follower? Are you determining the path? Jesus starts by already establishing that He is the leader. If anyone wants to come after me, He is the leader. And that means that sometime Jesus is going to take you in a path that is not easy. That you actually are not fully aware of what is going on. If you've been in a trail and you're following someone, you sometimes don't know what is ahead. You're just trusting on the footsteps of whoever is in front of you. But not only following Jesus means following, but it means also that it's following Him. So John Piper highlights this very important. He says, follow me, not mainly my healing, but me. Not mainly my exorcisms, but me. Not mainly my forgiveness, but me. Not mainly my deliverance from hell, but me. To be a disciple of Jesus is to desire Jesus more than you desire His gifts. And I want to add maybe to the list, follow Jesus, not mainly His preachers, not mainly the latest theological conversation, not mainly the latest conference. Follow the person of Jesus, what He said. So following Jesus means that you are behind Him, following Him more than what He has to give, more than just experience. It is not even following His church, because human beings will always get it wrong, but it means following Jesus. So it takes following, but secondly, it takes denial. The next basic criteria to follow Jesus is denial. And this denial, this word, has at least two implications. So the first one, self-denial. Following Jesus involves a denial of self, of our wants, of our desires. Now, let me be clear. Not all our desires are bad. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, hey, if you're single and you really want to get married, you can get married. It's not a problem. It's not a sin. Not every desire that we have is bad. However, denial, self-denial means that we will be willing to give up our selfish desires, what we want in our flesh. It means that we give up what is our will to do what is His will for our lives. And all of this, you know, this is like basic Sunday school stuff. We want to follow Jesus. We must do not our will, but God's will. But do you really believe that? Do you really, really practice that? Do you really live for your Savior, Jesus Christ? I mean, we sing, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Do you? How is our self-denial, brothers, in our following Jesus? In my second year of college, we, as part of our course, we have to go on a mission trip to a rural area. It's called a rural exposure, and so we go there for a week and as a class, and it was, you know, very basic things. We had to like take showers with cups of water in a bucket and go and boil our own water, and there was long drops and all of the story. And it's really rural. There was this church there and we wanted to help. And I remember in one of the evenings during the service, I believe the Lord was leading me to, and I had taken my guitar and my bass there to that church. And as I was there, I felt the Lord leading me to give my bass guitar to the church, to leave it there. But it was a fight. I was, and this is just internal, I mean, no one knows what's going on behind, but I am rationalizing every single idea of why I shouldn't leave my bass with that church. Like, who's going to play it? Will they look after it? Maybe this is just emotions going on in here. I think this is an expensive bass. And I am fighting for at least 10 to 15 minutes and just an internal struggle of, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not, no, Lord. And eventually, through my lecturer that was with us and was preaching, and he said something along the lines, because all that we have belongs to God. Why? And so I left my base there. And I shared the story not to say, oh no, look at Isaac, he shared a base. No, but I shared that story because of how we say that we live for him, but I wasn't wanting to give that base away. I didn't want to at all. So my question for us is, do we follow Jesus only as long as it doesn't clash with our desires? Only as long as it doesn't bother our schedule? Do we deny our wants, or it's following Jesus only as long as it doesn't clash with what my will is? Only as it is not going to cost my pocket. John Stott gave us this very challenging words. And he says, the Christian landscape is strewn with the wreckage of derelict half-built towers, the ruins of those who began to build and were unable to finish. Now listen to this. For thousands of people still ignore Christ's warning and undertake to follow him without first pausing to reflect on the cost of doing so. The result is the great scandal of Christendom today, so-called nominal Christianity. In countries to which Christian civilization has spread, large numbers of people have covered themselves with a decent but thin veneer of Christianity. They have allowed themselves to become somewhat involved, enough to be respectable, but not enough to be uncomfortable. Their religion is a great soft cushion. It protects them from the hard unpleasantness of life while changing its place and shape to suit their convenience. No wonder the cynics speak of hypocrites in the church and dismiss religion as escapism. Do we just want the brand of Christianity to look respectable in the light of the world? To just be, oh, he's an upright Christian person. Just enough to to look sharp, nice, good. But when it comes to self-denial and sacrifice, let's not go there. Let's not be radical now. And yet, Christian living, following Jesus, Jesus is saying it involves self-denial. It involves saying, no, I really want to do this, but I'm going to do what is right in His eyes. The second implication of this word denial is actually disowning. And these two are linked together. But as I was preparing, I saw these two dynamics, and I wanted to mention this. One scholar puts it like this: denial in the New Testament is the intentional disassociation from relationship with a particular person. Another translation then might be to disown or renounce. So, for example, when Peter denies Jesus, that same word is being used. And what was Peter doing? He was disassociating with Jesus. Like, no, I don't know him. I don't want to have any association with him. And so self-denial then is intentional disowning of the self, or stepping away from relationship with the self as primary. In other words, it's saying, I'm going to, my relationship and association is going to be first and primary to Jesus than what I want. See, we say Jesus is Lord of our lives. But is He really Lord? And you and I understand the concept of Lord. Lord is someone who is your master, who you're going to obey. You're not going to be back chatting or saying, I can't do it right now. Doesn't fit with my schedule. No, you can't do that to a Lord. You submit. You listen. You follow. You obey. Well, are you going to have Jesus as Lord of your life? No matter what it costs? What about if it's going to cost you your job? Or what about your reputation? What about your status? You and I just saying nice words, nice slogans, that my life is His, but in reality, that's only as long as it doesn't clash with what you want. And I know this is hard, and I am preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself because this is not easy, but it points to the radical nature that Jesus is calling. Jesus is saying this. It's His words. If anyone wants to come after me, got to deny themselves. Not only it takes following, it takes denying, but it takes dying. It takes dying. Look there, it says, and take up His cross daily. Now I chose the Luke portion because Luke adds this word, where in Matthew and Mark it doesn't appear, but the word daily appears there. Take up your cross daily. Now, for us, cross is very vivid because of what happened to Jesus. But now remember, the audience that was listening to Jesus, the crucifixion, Christ's crucifixion hasn't happened yet. But they knew exactly what he was saying. Because when Jesus said, take up your cross, crucifixion was as someone was going to be crucified, they had to carry this long beam of wood and shame and just carry the exact thing where he was going to die on. Taking up the cross, carrying that cross, was a blatant saying, dead man walking. This is it. That person is about to die. And so taking up your cross is saying, I'm being crucified with Christ. It's dead man walking. It's daily dying with Christ. Billy Graham said it's like saying carry your electric chair or your gas chamber or your lethal injection. A call to bear one's cross as part of following Jesus is a call to be a submitted to Christ as the condemned criminal was to his death. Is saying with Paul as in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It means dying to self. One of the I don't remember if it was a sergeant or a captain, said to one of his soldiers in World War II, it is easier to face death in battle when you already consider yourself dead. And so following Jesus means carrying your cross daily. It means dying to self daily. So right now, you might be feeling overwhelmed or annoyed with me. But let me maybe go to some encouragement for you. This is for a great benefit. So firstly, to say that this Christian walk of following, of being radical in listening to God and obeying Him and following on His footsteps is not done alone. And praise the Lord for that. Because if you just left this Sunday saying, I really need to pull up my socks and I really need to try harder, that's not my point. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 is an encouragement for you and for me. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So that's us. In words, the radical call of Jesus to follow Him, part of it is yours and my responsibility. It's yours and my responsibility to deny our desires, to obey, to listen. So there is that part. However, it continues. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Oh, what a wonderful verse. In other words, it's not entirely up to us. We must, the radical call of Jesus to follow Him and being denying of ourselves and our pleasures and what we want to do to be radical about following Him, it does take our efforts and it does take sacrifice and it does take self-denial, and all of that is true. So the calling is no any less. But the Bible is saying it's not just you by your own strength. God works in you both the will and the work for His good pleasure. His grace helps us. The Holy Spirit works in us to adjust our thoughts, our affections, our works according to the likeness of Jesus in pleasing Him. And I want to end with the great benefit, and that's in verse 24. The saving of your soul and the finding of your life. It says, for whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In Mark's gospel, the word gospel is added. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. And the point here is that the Christian life and the Christian walk is an upside down kind of dynamic here. Because the more you try to make it about your life, the more likely you will lose it. And the more like you want to lose your life for His sake, the more you will win it. This is the way that C.S. Lewis puts it. It is no good trying to be myself without Him. The more I resist Him in trying to live on my own, the more I become dominated by my own heredity and upbringing and surroundings and natural desires. In fact, what I so proudly call myself becomes merely the meeting place for trains of events which I never started and which I cannot stop. How brilliant is that? The more you try to just focus on yourself and what you want, the less you will truly live. True life is actually found in Jesus. The more you lose your life for His sake, the more true living you will do. And it is not only eternal life, which is really great, right? It's not only I am going to spend eternity in heaven. My soul will be saved. I'm going to spend eternity with Christ and beholding His face, and not eternity in hell and damnation and suffering. That is really, really great that I'm going to have that life. But living for Christ doesn't only mean that benefit. It means that right now, here, in this earth of struggles and toils and snares, the more alive you will be if you live for Him. We don't always see this in Christians. But I mean, I've talked to missionaries or people that have gone through real strugglings and real difficulties, and yet the exuberant joy that comes out of them is like, what do you have? No, I mean, and they can be in the poorest circumstances and without all of these other things, and yet their life is exuberant with joy. They are alive. They're truly lively. Because they're living for Jesus. And so the more we live for Jesus and lose of our what we want for our lives, the more alive we will be. It is an exciting, a bit scary journey living for Christ. And the benefits far outweigh the losses. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. And so, this morning, I want to encourage you about truly living for Him. Truly following His steps. Not only when it's convenient to you, prioritize Jesus in your life. Spend time on your knees and seek His face. Look back to the gospel. Look back to what He has done for you, dying in your place and taking your sins. And in light of what He has done, you surrender your life and say, I am going to follow You, my Master. You're my Master. I'm not my own Master. You're my Master. May the Lord help us to follow Him. Maybe you can join me in this brief song. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. O Lord, would You please indeed help us to radically live for You. We know that the fight against the flesh is real. And we so often want to do what we want, our desires. But would You help us to put to death those desires, to follow Christ, to be in awe of Jesus, to follow in His steps. Help us to be truly committed, not just with a layer of Christianity, Lord, but to truly follow our Master, Jesus Christ. Oh, this is our desire, Lord, to do Your will. And so would You help us with that. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.